Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson. We're your hosts this morning. And in our chat room, we have Gloria Wells, who's moderating the chat room, and along with us this morning. So, wow, we are in the book study of spiritual partnership, The Journey to Authentic Power. And it has definitely been a journey, and we're right in the midst of it and really getting ready to get into the meat of how to create these spiritual partnerships and the guidelines for having a spiritual partnership. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you, precious?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm so happy because you made me breakfast.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been many years, huh?
Yes, it has.
And really. It's been a great spiritual partnership.
It has, most definitely. You know, now we have a name to put to it. I mean, I just loved you. But to see the dynamics in our relationship, you know, someone would say, how is it that you guys have been together so long? And how did you find each other? And we get those questions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we really have a way to quantify really the magic. And it is because I've always said that our relationship, the foundation of our relationship is our spiritual relationship.
It's true.
God is the foundation.
Yes.
But I didn't really understand how important that was until we started reading this book, and that our relationship was really based on our spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
So we were ahead of the game, huh?
We were, and that's the glue.
That is the glue. And so I'm very thankful for this book, and it just it's just screaming at my soul, and I hope it's talking to you as well. Dr. Reggie, will you take us into our morning prayer this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, we are so glad to be alive, to be living in this dimension, and how lucky we are to be living on an emerging leading edge of consciousness right now as we change planetary ascension and personal ascension. Going back home to you, it's our roadmap to who you are in our energy field of consciousness. Thank you, God, for giving us divine love, divine wisdom, divine intelligence, divine understanding of who we are in you and who you are in us. It is a wonderful, beautiful, radiating cosmic mirror of eternity. Thank you for letting us see ourselves and understanding our partnership with everything in life and every part of nature, with each other and with the universe. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Wow, and so it is, and so it is. Thank you. So let's just do a quick summary about the benefits of a spiritual partnership. The number one benefit, of course, is that spiritual partnership is authentic power. Authentic power. Authentic power is the life that your heart longs to live. It's being fulfilled and being grateful, being careful, caring, being patient, fully present, meaningful, creative, and of course, loving. Using spiritual partnerships wisely satisfies the needs of the loving parts of your personality. It creates heaven on earth. And no matter what happens, no matter what happens, you live in it. So when you realize these things about spiritual partnership, the most important question you can think of, the question that most urgently requires an answer, the question that you have been asking all your life becomes, are you ready for this? How do I create spiritual partnerships? How do I become authentically empowered? How do I support others in creating authentic power? And so now we're going to move in to answering that question about how. So Gary Zukav says that the spiritual part, that the creation of authentic power is a process. It's not an event. It's a process. It unfolds moment by moment in response to ever-changing and the never-the-same circumstances, even circumstances that appear to be the same, such as a repetitive experience of overwhelm or an ongoing power struggle. They're not really the same. It's like a snowflake. Each moment is unique, combining different states of consciousness and intentions and actions. Unlike a snowflake, the complexity of each moment is far more intricate and involved than the geometrical form can be. You are different at each moment, and so are those around you. Authentic power is created, or not, in this kaleidoscopically changing context, each turn of the kaleidoscope bringing new opportunities and challenges. So an argument, for example, can turn quickly into a friendly resolution, and a friendly exchange can turn as quickly into a misunderstanding. Because what you're dealing with the frightened or the loving parts of your personality that are activated, and then they contribute to their thoughts and intentions and words and the actions each moment. And the same dynamic occurs in those with whom you interact. So there's no formula or set rules that can guide you through the depth and the richness of a moment, much less a life of moments as they present themselves. You cannot predetermine your responses because you do not know what the next moment will bring. You do not even know whether or not you will be able to be in the Earth School the next moment, much less what others will do. So the same type of calculations that can predict where and when a rocket that is launched from the Earth will arrive on Mars, it cannot predict what you or others will choose in the next moment. Others are no more constrained in their choices than you are in yours. Your body is subject to physical regularities, for example. It accelerates according to the law of gravity when you jump from a diving platform. But your will has no constraints. I mean, you can intend whatever you choose. Throughout the constantly changing richness of the present moment, your capacity to choose remains constant. There's philosophy, theology, psychology, and physiology. They all address our ability to respond to change, but they are adventures into thought. Like all excursions, they are limited by the intellect, but you are a multisensory being, and you are not limited by the intellect. Your adventures go far beyond it. The intellect is an employee of multisensory individuals. not the employer. They use the intellect to help them understand authentic power and the tools that are necessary to create it. But applying those tools takes them into domains of experience that the intellect cannot anticipate or even grasp. So as you become multisensory, you begin to use your intellect instead of allowing your intellect to use you. So imagine a child learning to garden who realizes for the first time that she can use her toy shovel to plant flowers instead of vegetables. A big change has occurred. The tool no longer determines how she will use it. She decides how she will use the tool. An individual who understands authentic power for the first time, what it is, how it is created, and why it is necessary. Wow, that's like a gardener arriving for the first time at a perfect plot of land with the intention to grow the best garden possible. Without her intention, the plot will not change, and a garden will not appear. Your perfect plot of land is your life. Without your intention to challenge and to heal the frightened parts of your personality, you're going to remain angry or jealous or resentful, or needing to please, or needing to dominate, or judging others, or judging yourself, and in countless other painful ways, continue to mask that pain of powerlessness. Your obsessive thoughts, such as, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm worthless, I'm to blame, oh, I'm not loved. Your compulsive needs, you know, for alcohol or perfectionism or savior searching, and this addictive behavior such as smoking and drinking and overeating and sex and watching pornography and gambling, they will continue to appear. These are the weeds that are growing in your plot. But day by day, month by moment, they prevent the growth of the plants that you want to cultivate, such as gratitude and patience and appreciation and contentment. So as spiritual partners, you are gardeners on an adjoining plot. They share knowledge, they share experience and skills, they share love and trust and the commitment to create authentic power. Their lives are much more complex than gardens, but they share the fundamental feature of all gardens, which is what? Unless the gardener pulls the weeds, they will continue to grow. And unless the gardener cultivates the flowers, they will not bloom. So the tools that are necessary to pull the weeds and cultivate the flowers in your garden, the tools are your emotional awareness. That's number one. Making responsible choices. That's number two. Your intuition. That's number three. And here's the biggie. Your trust in the universe. Because you see, the more you use them, the more you create your authentic power. And when you're creating authentic power, and that's your highest priority, then you will use them continually. Wow, I'm going to tell you something. When I read this, I was jumping out of my skin. especially when he gets to the last one. And you know what? Gene and I were having this conversation. Even Dr. and Reggie and I were having this conversation because I was sharing with you yesterday about the story about my wallet that I lost. And I'm still blown away at this demonstration of the universe as compassionate and wise, and the universe always working on your behalf, always working on my behalf. And I stopped and I said, my goodness, if the universe, which to me equals and means God, if God can control the elements of air around my wallet on the edge of a truck and hold it in place, what is it that God cannot do? And it took my faith to a whole new level. And so where Gary Zukav says in his last set of tools, he says, trust in the universe, he makes that last. I would say that should be first. Trust in the universe. Trust in God. And it is a lesson that we have had in Circles of Prosperity over and over. Trust in trust. Have faith in faith. I'm telling you, Dr. Reggie says, faith, trust, and pixie dust. So I'm going to repeat these tools because it's your emotional awareness that cultivates your authentic power, your emotional awareness, your responsible choices, your intuition, and your trust in the universe. Now, he moves into the part that we don't like, but the part that will give you so much joy, and that is that you only practice can make you a good gardener. And you have to have commitment, a commitment to gardening and diligently gardening, and separate those who read about gardening from those who actually work with the soil and experiment and observe and marvel as shoots emerge and grow into plants and yield fruit and give seeds and then disappear. Because the beauty and the power of the experience cannot be found in a book. You've got to put it into use. The books can be helpful, but it's not going to give you anything like the experience of actually gardening, right? So without understanding the purpose of your life is the garden, right? Without understanding that purpose of your life and then developing the tools to cultivate your life, you will exhaust and frustrate yourself, and sometimes doing something well, sometimes not, and other times just not even knowing what to do. But these are experiences of an unexamined life. That's what Plato calls it, an unexamined life. So in more modern terms would be an unconscious life. You're just moving whatever the wind throws at you. You're just going for it rather than creating what you desire. So he says even a still more accurate term would be a reactive life, a life that is frequently controlled by your frightened parts of your personality. The transformation of an unexamined, unconscious, reactive life into an aware, a deliberate, and a joyful life is the creation of authentic power. And oh, you beautiful spirits, God created you for a joyful life. He gave you all the tools. And you have covered it up with and masked the beauty of your spirit. You have masked your power. You deny your power on a daily basis, blaming others. That's the first sign. When you stop and you hear yourself, well, it's all your fault. Well, if they hadn't done such and such to me, oh, and here's the big one. Well, you know, the white man, he blah, 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 blah. You know, if you're black, you can't do blah, 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 blah. You have given up your God-given power. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what other people tell you is the so-called truth. I'm telling you the truth. God created you powerfully, not powerless. And it's your choice to believe one way or the other. I dare you to take on your power today. I dare you. I dare you to claim it today. I dare you. But you can't do it if you have these hidden parts and frightened parts of your personality. You have to begin to look at those parts and be honest with yourself and say, no longer. Look, yesterday when I lost my wallet, I was saying, or day before yesterday, oh, I'm so stupid. And I stopped and said, no, I'm not. I am divinely created in perfection. Dr. Reggie's walking up the stairs, and you know, he said, oh, my body is just, I don't know. I said, your body is divinely created. We have a choice in the matter. And the words you speak have power. That's our next book, Dr. Reggie's book on the secret power of words. Lord have mercy. Help me, Jesus. Thank you. Spiritual partners learn how to distinguish between love and fear. They choose responsibly. They consult intuition. And they co-create with the living universe. They co-create with God. Their experiences together propel them into new domains, and they explore these domains. What is a domain? That's an area. That's an area of study. It's an area of experience. So the spiritual partnership guidelines help them. Spiritual partners use the spiritual partner guidelines continually. And what are the guidelines again? Okay, what are the guidelines? Your emotional awareness, right? These are your tools. Your emotional awareness. What's the next one, Dr. Reggie? I'm talking about the tools. Your responsible choice, your intuition, and your trust in the universe. I had a problem with this chapter because all of a sudden he started talking about spiritual guidelines and he really didn't lay it out, but he did, but you have to go back and bring it in. So that's what I want you to understand, that these are your spiritual guidelines. The guidelines are really the tools and how you use the tools. So just as gardening is the only way to become a gardener, the only way to create spiritual partnerships is to create authentic power. Amen? Amen. He says the spiritual partnership guidelines show you the most effective, easy-to-use ways to create authentic power in any circumstance, at any time. Because the more you refer to them, the more you will use them. And the more you use them, the more a part of your consciousness they will become. No matter what challenges arise, depression descends, or rage ignites you, or impatience and superiority and inferiority that need to please, that jealousy, the obsession, the compulsion, the addiction, or the brutality you encounter from others, the spiritual partnership guidelines will show you how to use it to create authentic power. And when you use spiritual partnership guidelines, there's no wind that can blow that does not fill your sails. And I'm sorry, I made a mistake, because he delved into the spiritual, the spiritual guidelines, which are commitment. We're going to move forward with those, commitment, and the guidelines for commitment. And he goes on to discuss them. But the tools are the things that I mentioned to you before. All right, I see someone has a question here. Good morning, 2345, you're on the air.
Good morning, it's Gloria. I just wanted to jump in this morning to say, first of all, I take you up on that dare to explore my power today. I do, and I will be moving in that direction today. Secondly, I'm really glad that we're getting into the how. I mean, that really is the meat of what we, I think this book will bring to us, is how do we do these things? How do we take this energy and this information and actually put it to good use in our lives? So I'm glad about that. There are a couple of things that you've already read over that I just wanted to touch on a little bit. The first one is that our will has no constraints. Wow, I thought that was just such a, and he said it at the end of a sentence, and I think that should have been capitalized because it is really true. Our will is what has no constraints. And for me, the intellect part of it in the next paragraph after that, it was something that I was aware of in terms of my own intellect. My entire life, people have told me, oh, you're so smart, and, you know, my parents and my friends, and just a lot of programming there on my intelligence. And it's not that I want to downplay my intelligence. It's just that I think I was aware of this before I read this, but it really brought it back into my awareness that the intellect is an employee for me, not the employer. So that's helping me to really move into a place where, or at least become aware that my intellect is there, and I shouldn't, you know, disregarded in any way, but that it's not the employee. It's not the employer. It's the employee. So that was really good for me personally to dive into that, and I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, you bring up something that I found in this book, and that is he will generally put the most powerful thing at the end of a sentence. The most powerful statement you'll find, we go through and highlight some things that really jumped out at me. They're always at the end. Like the one where he says, trust in the universe. I thought it should be first. That's the number one thing.
And yes, he
puts it in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those tools are, and I wanted to mention something about those tools too. The ones that you mentioned, emotional awareness, responsible choice, intuition, and trust in the universe. The emotional awareness one is one that we're all experiencing right now in reading this book. So if anybody is having trouble with those other tools, know that you're already implementing the first one of emotional awareness just by reading this book and participating in on these calls.
That's true. That's very true. That's a great point. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to take you up on that dare and add my thoughts to that. The intellect is huge for me personally. It really is. So I'm hoping to dive into that even further as we proceed.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gloria.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Wow. Is there anybody else that has a question or comment this morning? Just press 1 on your telephone keypad. I'm going to try to figure out where we left off here. I'm sorry. He says, the spiritual partnership guidelines are also authentic power guidelines. When you use them to create authentic power, no matter what others are doing, whether you consider them guidelines for creating spiritual partnerships or guidelines for creating authentic power, they are your most effective resource outside of your emotions and your intuition. They will remind you to experience your emotions and to consult your intuition and help you to do it. But they're soul, S-O-L-E, meaning single, and soul, S-O-U-L, meaning your life. So they're single purpose for your soul is to assist you in creating authentic power and spiritual partnerships. And, you know, one of the things about how Gary Zukav has worded this book, and I must be honest that I kind of question this thesis on some level. He says that this is the first time that we as a human race has evolved. And the reason I question is because I'm so aware that we were divinely created, that we all have intuition, that we all have emotions, and that we all have the option to become aware of this God-given gift. And so I believe that we've always had this. I think the only thing that has changed is that we can communicate with each other on this level, talk about our intuition, and that it's it and our emotions, because we were in a society that didn't really delve with that. It was all about the outside world, not the inside. But when you go back and look at your ancestors and the ancient civilizations, they were very in tune with this part of themselves. And so I do pull away from his thesis on that level. Although I know that there's an evolution occurring on this planet, these innate abilities have been with us all the time. But we were being retrained and redirected to the physical world. And if you go and look at Bruce Lipton's videos, the first ones that I sent out to you guys about the cells and the cellular structure and everything, he shows you how through the centuries we made this shift from being connected to nature to trying to control nature. So in other words, we lost being in touch with who we really are and then tried to manipulate and control who we really are. And he talks about that transition. And so I think now we're moving back to the awareness of who we really are. So I do differ in my concept of this evolution that's taking place right now. He says the spiritual partnership guidelines do not instruct, they do not direct, and they do not command. And those are some strong words, because that's, to me, those are words of manipulation. Instruct, direct, and command. They are not moral imperatives or philosophical conclusions or theological instructions, like findings shared in a journal for the validation or the disproof of fellow scientists. Spiritual partnership guidelines are hypotheses. That's it. That scientists of the soul validate or disprove for themselves in the intimacy of their own experiences. These are tools for you. These are guidelines for you to say yes or no. They always point the scientist toward her healthiest options. And they help her to find her bearings when she is lost. And they help her at all times to create authentic power. And that's where we're going to start tomorrow. We're going to move into looking at examining closely these spiritual guidelines and how to use them. The spiritual partnership guidelines will continue to evolve as we create authentic power and spiritual partnerships and share our discoveries with one another. Because whatever new guidelines emerge, they will support you rather than burden you. They will open you to curiosity and creativity rather than confine you to a dogma, illuminate your potential rather than hide it, contrast your love with your fear, and your joy with your happiness, and your fulfillment with your accomplishments, so that you are able to bring your attention again and again to the power of your choices. And that, and here he sums it up perfectly. When you get these guidelines under your belt, It's going to help you make choices, responsible choices. And no matter what occurs, whatever the experience is, you get to understand that you created it. So this is why I think this book was so perfect in following oneness. Oneness tells you, okay, you have some lower frequencies and it's creating some drama in your life, and you will continue to experience that drama until you can raise your vibration. And so what Gary Zukav is giving us are the tools and understanding how to work these tools, work these guidelines to raise our vibration. Do you see the journey we're taking you on here in Circles of Prosperity? We have laid the foundation so perfectly here. I think Oneness was probably one of the best books in laying that foundation. The language is different, but people, please, and I try to refer back to Oneness a lot and show you the connection here. He's making this very now in a language you can understand, because, of course, Oneness was a channeled work. And so from the perspective of Oneness, all is frequency, all is energy. And that's true. We are nothing but bundles of energy. But that energy has effects. The reason your emotions respond, and Dr. Reggie defines emotions as E, energy, in motion. And that when your emotions create a frequency, and they can create a frequency that's just joy beyond the unspeakable joy, or just horrible, horrible sadness and depression, all the way on the other side. And one of the things that you're going to pick, remember he says the tool is your emotional awareness. How do you feel? When you make a choice, how does it make, and things begin to happen, how does it make you feel? You need to pay attention to your feelings. And for men, this may not be comfortable, because you've been taught to hide your feelings, to bury your feelings. Don't cry. Don't. You can't be hurt. You can't feel. I'm telling you, no, these are your, this is God talking to you. This is your divine self saying, wait, this isn't right. I'm not feeling it. Oh, my goodness. I'm just loving this book. I am really just loving this book. In whatever form, the spiritual partnership guidelines, these are authentic power guidelines. They will always direct your attention to your emotions, because your emotions are the force field of your soul. Hello? Your emotions are telling you what your soul is feeling. And you know your soul is your connection to the universe, equaling in meaning God or source or creator or whatever name you call it, that which is higher above you, that you are constantly connected to. Your emotions assist you in developing your awareness of your emotions, and they support you in using your emotions specifically and your awareness of physical sensations in certain areas of your body, such as your chest and your solar plexus and your throat. All of that is your authentic power. These guidelines will illuminate the fundamental role of your choices and the nature and the power of your intentions. Listen, he's spewing out some powerful words here. He is talking about your intentions. Did you intend to try to cheat this person out of some money because you are afraid that you won't make enough on your own? I tell you what, I'm just going to do so and so and so and so. This is what you're telling Sandy, because I need that kind of money. And then you don't give them the service that the person really deserves? Or are you moving in your joy and saying, you know what, I love serving you and doing this wonderful thing for you. My intention is to give you the best service. Or is it, my intention is to make as much money as I can, no matter how? Intention is important. The power of your intentions. These spiritual guidelines and support you in making choices that create consequences. There's a consequence to it for which you are willing to assume the responsibility. You have the intention. You put it into motion. And now you need to be responsible for it. These tools will help to assist you in making intuition instead of intellect your principal decision-making faculty and support you in using intuition. But listen, if you can't get in touch with your emotions, if you can't be honest about you how you feel about something, you are not ready to even begin to deal with your recognizing your intuition. You'll deny it. You're going to let the logical mind say this. Now, my purse was laying on this man's truck. I don't know what possessed. I had a gut feeling. Pick up the phone and call and see if you and talk to this man. But my logical mind was saying, okay, it's on the ground. So the most you can get from that experience, Cynthia, by calling him, is to say, what path did you take? So I can follow and see where it fell off. I've already declared that the wallet fell off somewhere, and if I follow his path, I may find it. If I had solely relied on my intellect, I may not have even made the phone call. I may have given up, but I trusted something else. I trusted, pick up the phone and call. It was an ungodly hour, and I still trusted it. Oh, my goodness. Listen, as multisensory perception replaces five sensory perception, and millions of us move into an expanded awareness of ourselves and our world, the spiritual partnership guidelines will become more and more valuable, and more people will find them valuable. I'm going to end this lesson here. I want you to please finish reading this chapter on page 140 and 141. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. I love you guys. God bless you.
Father, we are so grateful for this beautiful expression of who we are. When you breathe into man, and we all became living souls, we have more power than we realize. Let us use this power to help others, to dare to be abundant, giving us the power to dare to prosper, to dare to be healed and loving, to dare to change the world with our thoughts and our intention. Let us be launch pads for the glory in you. We thank you so much that you live in us, that the kingdom is within, and a king must reside there. Let us follow the orders of the king and not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. You created us. Let us live the lovely beauty of that creation, who we're supposed to be, and love who we are, intending to do good and intending to improve the quality of life for ourselves and other humans on this planet. We are emerging quickly into another dimension. The whole earth is, and I thank you, God, for giving me the insight, the intellect, and the intuition to know what to do at all times to help others. Let them do the same. I believe it is so, and so it is.